This message is one of the Times Square Church pulpit series. It was recorded in the sanctuary of Times Square Church in Manhattan, New York City. Other tapes are available by writing World Challenge, P.O. Box 260, Lindale, Texas, 75771, or calling 903-963-8626. You are welcome to make additional cassettes of this message for free distribution to friends. However, for all other forms of reproduction or electronic transmission, existing copyright laws apply.
I want to speak to you about God's Miracle Mountain. God's Miracle Mountain. I want you to go to Isaiah 25, please. Isaiah, the 25th chapter. 25th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to start reading at verse 6 through verse 12. Isaiah 25. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death and victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. He shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of the wall shall be he bring down low, lay low, and bring to the ground even to the dust. Now, friends, I've read to you just now one of the most amazing, precise scriptures in all the Bible, of all the prophets, of what God intends for nations in this last day, for we as individuals, and for his church. This is one of the clearest prophecies in all the Old Testament, of what God intends for you, for me, for his house, and for the nations. And we are in that period now. This is not just for the Jew. This is a dual prophecy, no foggy prediction whatsoever. What I bring to you now is agreed. Most Bible commentators agree with what I'm about to share with you this morning, this prophetic word. In the first five verses, I haven't read those, but let's go ahead and read them. O Lord, thou, my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Now, the prophet Isaiah, he's been transported in by spirit in vision to the last days, to the very days in which we're living. There's no doubt about the time element here. And he is picturing the work of the devil as a mighty city, that he has built an empire, and there's a city, and it has mansions and there are principalities and powers. He identifies it as a city. Thou hast made of a city a heap, a defense city, a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. In other words, it's been built and is going to be cast down. This is a prophecy picturing Satan and principalities and powers as a fortified city, a walled city. And out of this walled city, Satan has been ruling nations, bringing masses into captivity and coming like a blast, the scripture means a storm, and with heat that speaks of temptation, of intense heat in trying to tempt the world into sin, fornication, and all kinds of wickedness. And it's very clear the prophet says that God is going to deal with it. Palace of strangers shall no longer be a city. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Isaiah is looking at our very society. He's looking at the end of time. Now, this begins with Christ coming. Jesus came, and at the coming of Christ, this was the beginning of the last days. Clearly identified in the upper room by the apostles. Last day, God would pour out His Spirit such as He did. And Isaiah sees a society of many nations under authority of Satan. He says, the poor have no strength, the needy are in great distress, a raging storm, crushing oppressive heat of temptation, a blast of demonic activity. But suddenly there's a jubilant song that breaks forth from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God, the Exalted One, who has done such things in the past, verse 1, done such great things in the past, has had a plan for just this time. From the beginning of the world, before the world was created, God had a plan for the last days. And the prophet Isaiah is absolutely jubilant now because he sees this plan unwrapping. He's saying to us, God is not taken by surprise. God saw this before the earth was created. And God had a plan. And He said, God is going to institute that plan in the last days. I'm here to tell you that God has already got this plan in operation. And we're going to see what is called we are in, I believe, the latter rain. The former rain was Pentecost, and now the early days of the church, and now we're in the latter rain period. Suddenly, the prophet's soul is thrilled because he says, God, the last days is going to crush and annihilate this city of power, this stronghold of power. It's going to be dealt a deadly blow. The city will be turned into a heap of dust. And off comes the chains of millions of those bound and imprisoned by fear and sin. That's in verse 3. Therefore shall the strong, that means those who were powerfully held in captivity, they're going to start glorifying thee. The city of the terrible nations, or the wicked principalities and powers, shall fear thee. And there are nations that were once under demonic control, or in this time period, are going to be released. The bond of fear is going to be broken. Can you think now of the days in which we live right now? The walls of communism came down. The Iron Curtain came down. The bamboo curtain came down. And now nations all over the world that were once terrorized by this city of the devil, now God is weakening the power of Satan. And now thousands and millions that were under tyranny now are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. All over Russia, it's wide open. The schools are open. Gospel's being preached right in the classrooms, in colleges, all over. And now China, millions are being saved. Excuse me. A strong people, it says, once so hardened by sin, are now praising the Lord. Verse 4 says what will be fulfilled worldwide. Christ will become a refuge, a shadow of comfort. And we're seeing that happening all over. In the last days, in verse 4, it says these nations worldwide are going to be able to have the storm that comes, the Bible says, is going to hit a wall and fall harmlessly to the ground. In verse 5 is one of the most glorious predictions of the whole Bible. In original Hebrew, it reads, let's look at it, if you will, please. In verse 5, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible one shall be brought down low. Now, in original Hebrew, this reads, and listen closely, God will subdue the uproar of aliens. He will silence the song of the ruthless, and the ruthless here is terrorism. And the very clear prophecy that God is going to act. There's no nation on earth, no combination of nations that can conquer terrorism. Now, thank God Saddam was caught today. Saddam is out of the picture. But folks, how ironic to be able to announce that while I'm showing you what the prophet Isaiah is saying. It's being fulfilled right before our eyes. Here now he said God's going to subdue the uproar of the aliens and silence the song of the ruthless. And that song, there were pictures on in the news all over the world of these terrorists singing and dancing on the corpses of our soldiers. And God says, I'm going to stop that song. I'm going to subdue the aliens. And folks, God's saying, don't fret. I've got everything under control. According to the prophet Isaiah, Islam is not a problem. Islam is not a problem. Islam is not going to conquer the world. The King of Kings has already conquered the world. Oh, beloved, what a day we live in. I have never in all my 50 years of preaching seen anything like it, what God is doing all over the world. This church is a testimony of it. Hundreds of thousands attending the Crusades, the choir and Pastor Carter and the group that went to Nigeria to see 500,000 people coming a night. And then Jamaica shaken. Everywhere we go, Gary and I go all over the world. We're seeing things we could never believe possible. 6 years ago, this church began to pray for Mongolia because there were only 10 known Christians in Mongolia 10 years ago, or 6 years ago. We prayed, God, open it, break the power of the nation, the stronghold of that nation, and send in missionaries. And now, today, there are 10,000, and we are going to Mongolia for a minister's conference. Well, folks, Armenia, of all places. A revival in Armenia. A revival here. David Davis is here in Israel. God is moving among the Jews more and more all over the world. The veil, the scripture says, is going to be removed. Something is happening. Something incredible is happening all over the world. And what Isaiah saw coming, and I'm going to get into it, and if you better get your shouter out and ready to do some shouting here this morning. When you hear what the prophet says is coming, glory be to Jesus. I just received a report from this week, a report from an Islamic-controlled nation. Teen Challenge went in there just a few years ago. And now they have, the government has so honored them because they took in 400 drug addicts and alcoholics. This Islamic nation has become full of alcoholism and drug addiction. And the Islamics acknowledge they have no cure. Allah cannot cure a drug addict. We have been, Teen Challenge has been invited in, and they've just graduated this past year. 2 years ago, 100 of these addicts. And the czar, the drug czar of this nation, attended the graduation with other government officials where these boys were getting up telling about the power of Jesus that broke and healed them. 100 of these have gone out and starting churches. One of the graduates has just been voted in as the general overseer of the whole Pentecostal movement, a graduate from Teen Challenge, a former drug addict. And God is moving all over this nation. It's an amazing thing that God is doing. There's not Brazil is 50% evangelical now. Argentina is turning evangelical. All over the world, Jesus Christ is moving by His Spirit. Amazing, amazing power and fashion. Now, we started Isaiah 25, verse 6, right through 12 now. We're given an incredible prophecy here now about what God has in store for His people. We've talked about what He has in store for the nations. He's going to subdue the nations. These powers are going to be broken. Little by little, God's going to break that power. But I want to focus on what He's going to do for the individual, our hearts, and for the church, the true church of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 is a prophecy of a lush banquet on the mountain. Here it is. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees of fat things, full of marrow of wines on the lees, well refined. In the last day prior to the coming of Christ, God's people are not going to be mourning. They're not going to be frail and skinny, skeletal. They're not going to be under depression. Bible says it's going to be a feast of good things. Meat. Not satisfied with milk anymore. Not going to some big mega church where there's nothing but milk. He said, I'm going to have a feast of fat things. There's going to be meat with marrow in it. And there's going to be the finest of wines. This is the people who love reproof. Here's the people who say, I want to go deeper in the Lord, drinking the fine wine of a message born of the Holy Ghost. And God says, I'm going to bring forth the word in these last days. I've saved the best wine for the last. God has... Oh, folks, I'm getting tapes from young preachers, former drug addicts, that are preaching a gospel so deep and so powerful, so moving. What a wonderful thing to hear these young men. God has them. They don't care about hype. They don't care about bigness. They're just shut in with Jesus, and there's revelation. Hallelujah. The wine is being poured from cask to cask, and it's being purified. These young men, pure and holy, stirring the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A lush banquet on the mountain. But you see, this mountain, and I want to show it to you in Hebrew. And I've looked up all my commentaries and they agree with what I see. But I agree with what they've seen. The mountain here represents a house in which the presence of the Lord is manifest, where Christ is worshipped. The mountain represents a manifest presence of Christ in the heart and in the house. The manifest presence of Jesus. And there is going to come now a lush banquet of the presence of Christ among His people. And all that the prophet sees from verse 6 through the last verse 12, all depends on the presence of Christ. It's all going to happen only where the presence of Christ has been manifest and revealed. Where the presence of Christ has moved all the senses. I'm going to tell you something. When the presence of Jesus comes, it's not just something mystical. It's more than that. It touches every one of the senses. I mean, you can feel His presence. You can taste His presence. It touches the eyes, the ears, the nose. It touches every sense of the body. You sense something is happening. Jesus has come. The presence of the Lord is being manifested. And this is the feast. And before we go a step further, if you're visiting here, let me ask you about your church. Is the presence of the Lord manifested there? Are there times of weeping because of the total manifestation of His presence, so deep and heavy, where sin is being convicted, where from the pulpit comes a word so on fire that touches you and can confound you sometime and confronts you with your sins? And do you leave your church driven to go home and fall on your knees before God? Is the presence of the Lord so powerful it wants you to make all your wrongs right? To forgive your brother and sister of all of their evils against you. That's what happens in the presence of the Lord. The Bible said all the hills melt like wax. All the hills of temptation. All these hills that block the fullness of Christ. They melt in the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. And what about in your home? Do you have the presence of Christ in your home? Or is the flesh in control at your home? You see, we're going to be talking about unsaved loved ones and unsaved families because this is the whole prophecy is about bringing our families to Christ. And I'll show that to you in just a moment. But all that the prophecy, I'm going to give you some glorious prophecies here. And God's going to open up this chapter to you now. As he's been opening it to my heart. And you will see and you will understand everything we're about to hear from the prophet. He is so excited what he sees, but he sees it happening only on or in this mountain. Only where the presence of Christ is manifest. You see, the angels in heaven must be amazed as they look on the scene. Christian homes who bring filthy, lewd movies into their home and play it on their VCR. And then sit on the internet in their room and watch pornography. I just read a statistic of a poll that was done recently of how many hundreds of thousands of Christians and millions of Christians now are into pornography. And you go to, we have Christians that go to theater and watch, they literally pay to hear the name of their Christ cursed. Sit there and listen to Christ being cursed. Because that's the new thing in Hollywood now. To Christ and defame the name of Christ and our God. And paying good money to support this. And then they wonder why there's no presence of Christ in the home. They talk about wanting their boys, their sons and their daughters to be saved. They talk about their unsaved loved ones. They request prayer. And they meditate on it, and they even pray. I'm going to tell you, you can go and spend 5 hours and pray. But if you have defilement in your home, and the presence of Christ is there, there's no feast. There is no conviction. And everything the prophet said will happen will not happen. It happens only where the presence of Christ is there in his fullness. In the heart, and in the home, and in the church. May God keep this church always a place, a mountain where Christ Jesus is manifested. Every time we come in, may he be manifested, because only then does anything happen to change the lives of the wicked and the lost and the backslidden. There is a spiritual mountain. You'll find it in your secret closet of prayer. You see, I don't care how big a church is, and I don't care how small it is. It has nothing to do with bigness or smallness. It has to do with the presence of Christ. I've been in very small churches where just as dead as some of the larger churches. It has nothing to do with their size. It has to do with the intensity and the desire and the walk of righteousness to bring him into our midst. You see, it's a tragedy that the prophet foresees this great thing that's coming. We're going to get into that right now, but it's a tragedy. The prophet Isaiah sees all of this happening where Christ is being manifested. And yet he sees it so clearly, and I see it so clearly, so many are going to miss it. Because everything depends on the presence. That's what the mountain here is. The presence where Christ is truly worshipped in holiness and in righteousness. You see, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to mortify the deeds of the flesh. To bring in a sanctifying power. And yet we continue to grieve him by the things we bring into our home and defile the home. And folks, it makes no sense at all to have prayer meetings. It has no sense at all to request prayer for your unsaved loved ones if you have defiled your home. If you've defiled your mind. It doesn't make sense. Because you're not invited to the feast. There is no feast in that mountain. This mountain where the feast is, where this meat is, and where this fine wine of the Spirit is, and where God is going to do supernatural things in the last days, has to do exclusively with those who've said, I want more than anything else the presence of Jesus. I want the Lord Jesus working with me. I want him in my home that when people walk in here, I know I have a word. I have a word because I've been with him. I want everybody to see that I've been with Jesus. A banquet of aged wine and choice pieces of meat with marrow and refined aged wine. Now we come now to the miracles Isaiah predicts God's people are going to experience in this last day. Verse 7. And in this mountain, in other words, wherever this great manifestation of his presence is evident, shall the Lord of hosts swallow up, this is verse 7, swallow up the covering cast over all people, even the veil that is spread over the nations. Here are two miraculous prophecies wrapped up in one verse. First of all, the veil that is upon the Jews since Moses. When they shall turn to the Lord, the veil upon their hearts shall be taken away. And that prophecy is even happening now. The reports of Jewish people here in New York City and all over the country and around the world. And one magazine I read, secular magazine, said the Jews are taking a new look at Christ. A new look at Jesus. That's all it takes. One look. Paul said blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Paul believed what Isaiah prophesied this chapter. He believed it. He said they're going to obtain mercy. I believe a holy remnant of Jews and a holy remnant of believers all over the world are going to have the veil taken out. Those who have been backslidden, sons and daughters of those who have the presence of Christ in their life. God says, I'm going to remove the veil that is over their eyes. I'm going to swallow up this covering over their eyes. Now, folks, I believe what the prophets say. Isaiah prophesied also that I believe this has to do with your immediate family, not just the Jew, but the immediate family. Your sons and your daughters that are said to be in the last days to be able to prophesy, see visions. Parents have written to me from all over the United States and say, I have such a hard time speaking to my son or to my daughter. Nothing I say gets through. I can't seem to reach them. And actually, they're saying there's a veil, there's a covering over their eyes. Paul said the God of the world hath blinded them. And consequently, they're confused about their faith. Satan did it to shut out the light of the gospel. I'm going to ask you not to look for another reason why you can't get through to a son or daughter, to a husband or wife, or to unsaved loved one in your immediate family. Don't try to figure it out anymore. The Bible says this is the work of the enemy. He has come. The Bible says the God of the world has blinded them. This is something you can't handle. This is something beyond counseling. This is something beyond being nice to them. This is something so far beyond your human ability. This is going to take a miracle. This is going to take a feast on the mountain. This is going to take the presence of Jesus Christ like we've never known before in the home and in the hearts of those who are concerned about their families and their loved ones. The Bible says that Satan or the enemy seeks the precious life. The adulteress seeks the precious life. And your son or daughter, if Satan has gone after them, he knew that they were in a Christian home. They knew there was a Christian environment. They knew that prayer would ascend to heaven. And he came after the very object of your prayers. He came after the precious one. Came and blinded their eyes. Don't try to listen to the lies of the devil. The scripture makes this so clear. The hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. He alone can swallow up, cast aside all veils. This has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. You and I can't do it. And the Bible makes this very clear. There's a spirit that's in the world today that has brought so many unto this, and it is really the key is a spirit of unforgiveness. Somehow along the line, the enemy planted a seed of bitterness, that came in and it began to grow as a seed, and the fruit of it was unforgiving spirit and bitterness of some kind that they can't express. It so deep inside them. But the prophecy of Isaiah says that God is going to swallow up these veils, and it even gets better. The spiritual death on your family will be swallowed up, the scripture says. Verse 8, He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all their faces, and the reproach of His people will be removed, for the Lord has spoken. You say, wait a minute, brother. Victory over the spirit of death that's in my family, over my children, there's a spirit of death hanging, yes. And you're telling me the prophet is saying in the last day, that is going to be lifted, swallowed up, and cast away? Now, folks, I'm going to prove to you that when it says He's going to remove tears from their eyes, He's not talking about the day Christ comes and Jesus reigns. Because the other verses said we're going to be here to first see God swallow up Satan and deal. We have to be here to see the rest of the chapter fulfilled. He's going to say there's going to be renewal in your families. And the reproach is going to be removed. And I'll tell you what that reproach is. It's the constant harassment of the devil himself coming against you saying it's your fault. You have failed your kids. You have prayed and boasted in the power of prayer, and weeks go by and months and even years and your kids aren't saved yet. That's a reproach. And in the Hebrew, it speaks of railing and mocking. It is the devil coming against you mocking and railing. Folks, shut your ears to the lies of the devil. Shut your ears to these lies. Bible said Satan is blind in the eye. Doesn't mean they're devil-possessed. It means that he's tried to persuade them. He's put a lie in their spirit that has to be dealt with, and it's caused the veil, and the Lord says, I'm going to deal with that veil. I'm going to remove that veil, and I'm going to take away the reproach of the devil from you. Hallelujah! Some of you need to stand up right now in your spirit and say, I will not take this anymore. I can't recall the past. I can't do it over again. Even if you are responsible, even if you said and did the wrong things, folks, that has nothing to do with what God has promised. God has promised, no matter what happened, I am God. I will remove the veil. He will swallow up death in victory. Lord God will wipe away tears from all their faces, and the reproach of His people shall be removed, for the Lord has spoken. Oh, glory to God. My Bible said, believe the prophets and you shall prosper. I believe these prophets. Isaiah sees this and he gets so excited by what he sees. He explodes with amazement, and he says in verse 9, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We've waited for Him, and He will save. This is the Lord. Say it. This is the Lord. This is His job. And the prophet said, my people, God's people will stand back amazed and say, this can only be the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. He's brought salvation, it says. Look at it. We waited for Him, and we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Hallelujah. Gets even better. Verse 10. In this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. Folks, we are those who are in the presence on the mountain going to see the annihilation of the devil who's working the hearts of your family. You're going to see the annihilation of the power of hell. That's what verse 10 is all about. For in this mountain, in other words, where the presence of the Lord is and where He's truly worshipped, shall the hand of the Lord rest. Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Now listen to me, please. There was a physical Moab, an enemy of Israel. But all through the Old Testament, Moab became a mystical emblem representing satanic power, representing everything that was wicked and evil out of hell. Moab represents the principalities and powers of darkness. And the Bible says, in this mountain, Moab, that's the devil in his powers. This is the power of the devil that's put the veil on the faces and on the minds and covering over all of our unsafe loved ones. And the Bible says, Moab shall be trodden down under him, even his straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And you know what he's saying? Really, that means a sewage pit. God says, I'm going to cast the devil into a sewage pit. Moab's going to be destroyed, and I'm going to trample him down into sewage. We don't have to rail against the devil. God's taking care of it. God says, Moab shall be trodden down. And then he goes on to say, he's going to start spreading his arm like he's going to try to swim out of the cesspool. Read it. He shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. He's going to do everything in his power not to let go of your kids. He's going to swim every while of every device of hell. But God says, I'm going to push him deeper down. He can't get out. This doesn't mean the devil won't have rule and reign over the wicked forces. He'll still be in power. But wherever Jesus Christ is glorified, where sin has been broken, and you're seeking his face, and you're in the mountain feasting with Jesus, in your family, God's going to put his foot on the devil. He's going down. God says he'll never swim in your kid's life again. Never. Not in your wife, not in your husband, not in your family. He's going to trot him down, even the straws trodden down for the dunghill or the cesspool. The devil's going to swim. But he shall be, God shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. All the spoil of your children. He's taken all of the life out of them. He said, this is my spoils. It belongs to me. I've battled for your children. I've battled for your loved one. These are my spoils. And God says, I'm going to just unwind his fingers. And I'm going to say, no more release. Glory to God. And the fortress of the high fort of the wall shall he bring down, lay low and bring to the ground, even to the dust. And those walls around your family have kept them from coming to Christ. They're all coming down. Let's go to the New Testament before we close. New Testament to prove that Isaiah's prophecy began in the upper room. It's being fulfilled now in its fullness in these last days. Peter preached this in the temple. He said, those things or those prophecies which God had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, so hath he fulfilled. In other words, that everything every prophet in the Old Testament said about Christ has been fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Pentecost was a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord was manifested, and out of that presence came, in the word refreshing, there is reviving and restoration. Times of refreshing. And there have been times of refreshing in the last days that began there. That was the first. And then you'll find times of refreshing. the house of Cornelius was a time of refreshing. The Bible says the whole house was saved. The whole house. A time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And now, the last of the last days, one final time of refreshing. And folks, I believe this with everything in my heart. We have entered, I don't know when it happened, but I believe it's been in the last 5 or 10 years, we have entered into a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the presence of Christ. Folks, what God is doing now, it's not about fire. It's not about power. It's not about materialism. All of these things are coming. They're just being cast aside because people are hungry and desperate. What you hear now is all about Jesus, about His presence. People want to come in to a house and sense the presence of Christ. And it's only then as we have that, where there's no defilement in the house. He is allowed to do His work. The words we speak then will be that of power and authority. What happens when the Spirit of Christ is revealed? Did Pentecost 5,000 saved at one time? The house of Cornelius, the entire house is saved because of a manifestation of the presence of Jesus by the Holy Ghost. And here in this house, people have been saved almost every service in this house since it's been opened because the presence of Christ has been here. What happened in Nigeria? What happened in Jamaica? What happens in our ministers' conferences and meetings everywhere we go? The presence of the Lord just comes in. We saw that in the last communist nation we were at, with this I close. We were in Minsk. And communism is still in control. They still have the KGB. But I saw one of the greatest manifestations of the presence of Jesus, where almost 5,000 ministers and wives and those that were gathered, the presence of Jesus just came down so powerfully. And just His presence melted the people. Ministers ran to the prayer room to fall on their face and repent and get right with God. Those who were there, grandmas who hadn't wept in years, who'd been sitting watching television, now sitting there weeping and repenting. It wasn't because the preaching was already finished. It was the word was at work, but it was the presence of Christ that just suddenly came in. Jesus filled the house. You see, when Daniel, with this is, I close. When Daniel read another prophet, he read Jeremiah. And you know, only a praying church, only a praying man, only those who are seeking God are going to see and understand what the prophets have said. This is a prophetic word. But just as I read this in 25th, Daniel is reading Jeremiah and he figures out the time element. They were supposed to be 70 years in captivity. And suddenly he looks at his calendar. This is the end, the exact end of 70 years. And what happens? I set my face to seek the Lord God, to seek by prayer, supplication, fasting, and sackcloth and ashes. He said, I begin to seek God. Now see, you heard a promise here this morning from this prophet Isaiah. And I believe every word of it. We're in a time of refreshing. But when you know it's that time, that's the time to seek Him. That's the time for fasting. That's the time for prayer. That's the time to dig in, because God said, Pastor Carter just said it from this pulpit. People that were invited here before who never would think of coming in now, bring a whole family coming in. He said, he gave me an amen for what God had given me to speak here this morning. Folks, I believe the time has come for you to lay hold God for your family with faith, with the promises of God that He's going to do it. If 2 weeks now the devil tries to bring fear in your heart, get this tape. I don't get any money. Pastors don't get any money out of that. Hit the tape, put it on your recorder, get fired up again. And do a little shouting and believing. And trust God. Folks, we're going to see in this church, before this is all over, we're going to see, you're going to rejoice. Not because God's provided money to redo this house, but He's redoing your house. He's redoing your house. Stand, please. Hallelujah. Friends, as I was praying about this message, even yesterday the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart that there would be some here visiting, and some of you that have been coming to this church. You've been having a hard time getting to the Lord. You have a hard time. There's something. You've got a veil. It's clouded. People have talked to you. People have witnessed to you. And you know. And you know. But I'm telling you something. Today is a little different than anything you've ever been exposed to before. You've been exposed to the presence of Christ powerfully. He's here now. I said, Jesus Christ is here now, manifesting His power. Now, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Because He said, in that time, what He's willing to do is open your heart. He now wants to take the covering off your mind, and this wall that's been holding you, to tear it down. There has never been, nor ever will be, a more opportune time for you to get to Christ and be changed eternally than right now, in the next few moments. We don't use emotion here to try to get people to come to Christ, because as soon as the emotion wears off, so does your religion. It's got to be more than that. Saying, I know. I know God's been dealing with me. I know God's been speaking to me. Oh, Lord Jesus, You're so present here now. You are with us to complete the work that You've started. Thank You, Jesus. Work mightily now, Holy Spirit. Now, those that have come forward, just plain, simple instruction. Look this way for just a moment. The Lord, and the Lord only can read our hearts. And He knows why you came forward, and He knows the battle and the struggle that you're going through. And all it takes is this step of faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to commit everything to You. It's a commitment. I can't handle it myself. I can't fight it anymore. I'm at the end of my rope. How many have come to the end of yourself? Raise your hand. Come on, raise it high. I've come to the end of myself. All right. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I've come to the end of myself. I have no power, and I can't change anything. But You can. I want to be changed. I ask Your forgiveness and Your mercy. Cleanse me of all my sins, all my iniquities. Lord Jesus, I come by faith to make a fresh commitment. I want to love You, and I want to serve You, and I believe You. I believe You hear my cry. And You're refreshing me. You're reviving me. You're restoring me. And I believe You. And I believe Your word. And I give You thanks. Now, in Your own words, just thank Him right now, Lord. I give You thanks. Lord Jesus, I give You thanks. I give You praise. Friends, you just have to hear me. I'm at a loss, and I think every pastor that comes to this pulpit at a time like, we're at a loss for words. We don't know how to talk you into serving the Lord, and we can't. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just come on you now. And I want you to trust the Holy Spirit will come right now as we pray, and He will speak to you. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come now with assurance. Inhabit every one of these that have come. Fill their hearts and their minds, Holy Spirit. You're the one who has the power to break the chain of sin. And we believe what the prophet Isaiah said. You're going to take away the veil from our eyes. And you're going to swallow up the spirit of death. And oh God, You're going to defeat the devil that's been deceiving. In Jesus' name, we believe that and we accept it. Now give God thanks for that in Jesus' name.
This is the conclusion of the message.